Good morning. We're going to talk today about the importance of rejoicing in the Lord. Because whether the circumstances in our life are perfect, sort of good, or terrible, and we all have days with one or the other of those, we have much to rejoice about because of God's faithfulness and love towards us. And we're going to start by reading about Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. After the children of Israel had escaped from Egypt, they stopped in and saw Jethro's father-in-law. So starting here in Exodus 18, verse 1. Exodus 18:1, when Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he'd sent her back, and her two sons, of which the one was name of one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land, and the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, bowed to him, kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law of all the Lord that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail, the trouble that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. So they did have travail, they did have problems, but God delivered them. And Jethro, here in verse 9, rejoiced. He rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Now they were in a very bad state. The Israelites were slaves. They were treated very harshly. Terrible things. The Egyptians were so scared of them that they even tried to kill all the young children. Well, that happened years ago when Moses was born, 40 years earlier. But they were in a very bad way. Then they escaped. God parted the Red Sea. God gave them food and water in the wilderness. He protected them from the mighty Egyptian army. And so many things God did for them. And it's good to remember that because you and I have bad days. Somebody lets us down. We goof up and make a mistake. Things don't go right for us. And it's in a number of areas of life it can happen to us. Yet, I don't think any of us had it quite as bad as the Israelites having to flee from Egypt. Yet, God took care of them there. And if he can take care of them there, and Jethro could rejoice about God's goodness, then God certainly can and will take care of us in our challenges. And our challenges are very real. I just don't think they're quite as extreme as the Israelites had. So again, verse 9, Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. Verse 10, and Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know, verse 11, that the Lord, and whenever you see Lord in all caps, that's Jehovah. That's the name that God gave himself. Now I know that Jehovah is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. So he rejoiced in the great stuff that had happened. Let's go to Psalm 146. Psalms is here somewhere. There it is. Psalms 146. We'll read the whole psalm. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. As long as I can breathe, I'm going to praise God. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. You see, the person that has the God of Jacob, the true God, our God, the one that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Let's read that again. People that have the God of Jacob for their help, they're happy. As it says in verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. We all have people that help us. We have situations that help us. We have resources we can use to help what we're doing. But greater than that, we have the true God, the God of Jacob. And that's why we can be happy. He's always there to take care of us. Verse 6, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. See, God's going to reign forever. He's always going to be God, and he's always going to be there to take care of us. Jesus Christ, as tremendous as his ministry is, and the things he'll do in the next administrations as the King of Kings, he eventually will quit reigning. He will turn back all dominion to God. His reign will end, but God's reign will not end. It will go on forever. Proverbs 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And here in verse 20. Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Again, we trust in the Lord and we're happy because we have a source of supply. We have a source of hope. We have God there taking care of us in every way. So, again in verse 20, whoso trusteth the Lord, happy is he. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. Deuteronomy 16:13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. That's where they're supposed to live in little huts instead of in their houses. They build a hut and they live in it, sort of like a camping trip, to remind themselves of their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the work of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt rejoice. Thou shalt surely rejoice. That's why they would rejoice, is because God has blessed the work of their hands. And that should be our expectation. Yes, we're going to work. Yes, we're going to have challenges. Yes, we're going to have obstacles. But God will bless our work, and it will prosper, and therefore we will rejoice. Verse 16, 3 times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. So God's going to bless our increase, and therefore we'll rejoice. Deuteronomy 26. Here in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 1, and it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Because they're still wandering the wilderness. God had not yet established Jerusalem as the place to worship. Verse 3, and thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and there became their nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord ignored us. No, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us unto this place and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt, look at this, verse 11, thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. And of course, rejoicing is tied very closely to being thankful. Think about all the things the Lord God has given us. Have we had challenges? Sure. If we had setbacks? Absolutely. But I think it's fair to say we have a roof over our heads. Our house or wherever we live is probably heated. Maybe even air conditioned in the summer. We have food to eat. We have transportation available to us. We have clothes to wear. We have just so many things that we can stop and be thankful for and rejoice about. It's just our challenge as people is we tend to look at that one or two things that aren't going the way we want and put way too much emphasis on them. Our emphasis in our thinking should be rejoicing in what God has given us and what he does do for us and what he's promised to do for us. And then, you know, hack away at that little challenge you have. Because we all have a challenge. We all have something we're working towards or trying to overcome or trying to accomplish, and that's great. But let's not get so wrapped up in that one thing that isn't quite right that we forget to rejoice in the many things God's given us. Let's read that again, verse 11 of Deuteronomy 26. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. And let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Here we go, starting in verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered this first psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And here we read in verse 8 of 1 Chronicles 16. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them, what? Rejoice that seek the Lord. You see, we have a challenge as people that when things go wrong, we want to be grumpy and only rejoice when they go right again. Well, obviously we want things to go right. But even when things aren't going right, we still should be rejoicing in the goodness of God. We should still rejoice simply because we can seek the Lord. We have a place to go. You may be starving to death. You may have no food in the kitchen, and you may just have your stomach grumbling, and you get in your car or take a walk to the market and buy some food. Now, while you're on your way to the market, or shopping, or waiting in line to check out, or waiting till you get home so you can prepare the food and sit down and eat it, you could be all grumpy. I'm hungry. Or you could be rejoicing because I'm seeking food. I know where it is. I'm going to get some. I may be hungry now, but an hour from now, I'll be quite satisfied and full because I know how to get to the market. I know how to. God's provided some money so I can buy the food, I can go home and I have the stuff to cook it, I have a plate to put it on, I have a knife and a fork to eat it with. Wow, this is great. So while you're seeking food, you can be rejoicing, even if you're still hungry and your stomach's grumbling. Well, how about when we seek the Lord? It'd be terrible if things weren't working in our lives and we had nothing to fix it. Now I could see maybe getting bummed out. But we always have a way to fix our challenges. We always have a way to get deliverance, and that's going to God. So the very fact that we seek the Lord should make us rejoice because we've found a way to get the need taken care of. And something I say fairly frequently. I haven't said it for a while, but I say fairly frequently that when something goes wrong, we want to blame people, blame ourselves, blame another person. We want to say, why me? Why this bad thing happened to me? We want to feel, you know, get down on ourselves because we goofed up, or get mad at somebody else because they goofed up, or just get mad at life in general. But when you quit assigning blame and quit feeling like the victim and start asking God for help and praying, that's when things start to turn around. Finding, you know, 10 different ways to be negative and blame and condemn yourself or condemn somebody else or anything isn't going to solve the problem. And I can just think of so many times in my life that something went wrong and I got all mad or got hurt or got upset or any kind of negative emotion you want. But then the minute I stopped doing that, put my eyes on God and started praying, things got better very quickly. Not only did the situation improve, but my attitude improved and I was much happier. Because instead of focusing on the problem, I was focusing on God's deliverance. So, how great this is in verse 10. It says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. The very fact that we can seek the Lord and go get help, we should start rejoicing immediately. We may not have the answer yet. The problem might not be solved. We may not have received the deliverance we want immediately. But the fact that we're seeking the Lord and we have a path, a road, a way to get the deliverance we need, we should rejoice in that. So let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Verse 11, seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And we've had several sessions where we've read about this, where it says if you seek the Lord, you're going to find him. He's not hiding. Seeking the Lord is not, you know, wandering around in the dark, bumping into things. It is knowing where to go. Just like you're hungry. You know where the grocery store is. You know how to get there. You know how to pay for the food. You know how to take it home and unpack the grocery bags. You know how to fix the meal. And you certainly know how to sit down and eat it. So the minute you decide you're going to go get some food and fix a meal, you're happy, even if you don't get to eat for another hour. Because you know how to get the food and make the meal. Well, in the same way, the minute we decide to seek the Lord, we should always be rejoicing because we're going to find the deliverance we need and we will rejoice that God brings the deliverance. But even before he brings the deliverance, just the fact that we can seek him should be great cause for rejoicing because we have a way out. Seek the Lord in his strength, verse 11. Seek his face continually. Remember, verse 12, his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation, his deliverance. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared or reverenced above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 30, fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Verse 31, let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, Save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Wonderful. 2 Chronicles 20. This is that great record we read from time to time about Jehoshaphat when he was king of Israel and he was attacked by three different armies, totally outnumbered. So they just got together and prayed and said, Lord, we don't have any idea what to do. We don't have enough strength to fight this battle, so our eyes are on thee. And they looked to God, and God put the Spirit of God upon a fellow in the crowd, and he stood up and spoke and said, Go out tomorrow to the battlefield singing praises, and you're not going to need to fight in this battle because the Lord's going to fight with you. So the next morning they go out to the battlefield and singing hymns along the way, and when they get there, they find the enemy soldiers have all killed each other. And they spend 3 days just taking the loot back. So that was a great deliverance. And it's summed up here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 27. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 27. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with what? Joy. Why? For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. So remember that when you're in a tough spot and things aren't going the way you want. God can bring great deliverance even though things look really bad. And that's what he did for them. The Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. Huge armies were against them, but they didn't touch them because God brought them deliverance. Let's go to Psalm 5. Psalm 5 and verse 1. Psalm 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish and that shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, the Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear I will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Let's go back to verse 2. Sorry, I was reading the wrong verses. Let's go to verse 11. Those are great verses, but that's not what I was. I was looking in the wrong place in my notes. Go to verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee, what? Rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Why? Because thou defendest them. Let them also love thy name. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. So let all those that put their trust in God rejoice. Let them shout for joy because God defends them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. So we always have something to rejoice about. So on days when things aren't going the way you want, which does happen to all of us, just simply focus on rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoice what he's done for us. Rejoice that we can seek him. Rejoice that he'll bring us the deliverance and supply we need. Now, Psalm 16. Here we go. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is what? Fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And that was back when they didn't even have the Spirit of God upon most of them. We have God in Christ in us, so we're always in God's presence. And in God's presence, there is fullness of joy. What a great thing. In Psalm 43. here in Psalm 43 and verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my what? Exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. God, my exceeding joy. In another translation, it reads, the source of all my joy. Another one has, my joy and my delight. Literally, it reads, the gladness of my joy. Just a figure of speech where you repeat something to make it stronger. But what a great thing, the source of all my joy, or my joy and my delight. Wonderful. But I like what it is just in the King James is great. Unto God my exceeding joy. God is our exceeding joy. He exceeds any kind of joy we could ever find anywhere. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 15. Great section here in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. So if our heart is merry, we'll have a smiley face. You have a cheerful countenance when your heart is merry. And your heart is merry when you're rejoicing in the goodness of God. Other things can make you happy, but other stuff comes and goes. Some people only like bright, sunny days. And that's probably okay if you live somewhere south without a lot of rain or in the desert. But for most of us, we live in places where it's not sunny every day. So if you're only happy on a sunny day, you're going to be grumpy half the time. And we don't want to do that. Or some people are only happy if a certain set of circumstances that happens once a year occurs to them. Well, we can rejoice every single day. Here in Proverbs 13 again. I'm sorry, Proverbs 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. Now look at verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. I mean, we all like things like Thanksgiving dinner, or somebody cooks you your favorite dinner, or you go out to your favorite restaurant where they have this special every Wednesday night, or whatever it is you like to eat. And we get excited to have this feast. Well, how about having a continual feast? Always having a continual feast. Well, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And the only way to be merry all the time is to trust God. Because if we're only merry because of some other set of circumstances, those circumstances aren't going to be there all the time, and you're going to be let down, and you're going to have a lot of days where you're just grumpy and not merry. But we can be of a merry heart all the time, and with the result that we have a continual feast. Now, I know it says in Ecclesiastes there's a time for sorrow and a time for laughter, and that we're going to have tough times, but we don't have to let them totally stop us. If something bad happens, you lose a loved one or something goes wrong, it's okay to grieve. Welcome. It's okay to grieve, but we don't spend all our time grieving. We have a merry heart looking to God. We get through the challenging times. We seek the Lord, and we come out rejoicing. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, by believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got peace with God. There's no conflict between you and God. God has made us righteous through the work of Jesus Christ, and that's what justified means. It means to be made righteous. We're right with God through the work of Jesus Christ, and as a result, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith, by believing into this grace, this divine favor wherein we stand, and what? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is going to be revealed fully after the return of the Lord, and that's our great hope, and we have great rejoicing because of that. And not only so, verse 3, but we glory in tribulations, you know, mental pressure and challenges. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works or produces patience. And patience produces experience and experience produces hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, perhaps, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Great stuff. So we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's go to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful or lazy in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. There again, we're rejoicing in hope. The great positive expectations we have, not just of the return of the Lord, but the positive expectation that God will bring us deliverance in all things. We rejoice in that. We always have that positive expectation that God is going to be there to bless us. We're patient in tribulation. We continue instant in prayer. We're faithful to pray, distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality, bless them with which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice, verse 15, with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You'll warm him with your love. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We rejoice in hope. Philippians 3. This is a great section. Well, these are all great, but this is a real favorite of mine. Philippians 3 and verse 3. Well, let's go back to verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me is not grievous, but for you it's safe. Rejoice in the Lord. Beware of dogs, people that want to, you know, bite you, bite you in the back, or we'd say shoot you in the back. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, the people that want everybody to get circumcised, even though Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. For we are the circumcision, and that means spiritually, because God uses the term circumcision to refer to his people. And our circumcision is spiritual through the new birth. In the Old Testament administrations, the circumcision was literal circumcision. But spiritually, we're the circumcision. Now look at this. We do three things. We worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Three things to always do in the Christian walk. Always pray in the Spirit, always rejoice in everything we have in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh. I have found in my life, and in talking to many other people, I don't have any statistics for you here. What I'm going to tell you is what is termed anecdotal. You have some stories, you've heard about it, but if not every time people are let down and get upset, and maybe not even most of the time, but a great deal of the time, when things don't go well for people, it's because they've had confidence in the flesh. They put too much confidence in their own abilities, or too much confidence that some other person's going to come through for them in some way, and it just doesn't happen. They don't come through themselves, or somebody that they're expecting to come through for them doesn't. And when you put confidence in the flesh, you're going to be let down, because all flesh is as grass. You know, we're made of dust. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God. So we love people. We enjoy working with them. We think the best of them. We try to help them be the best. Many times they do their best to help us. Other times they don't care about us at all. But no matter what the circumstance, human beings are always going to fall short of where what you'd like them to, whether it's yourself or somebody you're working with. So we just don't have confidence in the flesh. We rejoice. What are those three things again? We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I can think of a couple times this week I got a little bummed out. And in both times, it's because I put confidence in the flesh. I expected somebody to come through, and they let me down. And there were things I was supposed to do, and I didn't come through. I let myself and other people down. That happens with people. And it's nothing to get upset about. It's just part of life, and we accept it. But what we don't do is we don't put our confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in God. We each do our best, and many of the people we know do their best. But it doesn't matter. People are going to fall short, including ourselves, so we don't put confidence in the flesh. We worship God in the Spirit, we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So the good way to live is rejoice in Christ Jesus. The bad way to live is to have confidence in the flesh. So if you decide you don't want to rejoice in all the great things God and His Son Jesus Christ do for us, you don't want to do that, and instead you want to put all your trust in people, you're going to be let down a lot. But if instead you don't put your trust in people, you put your trust in God and rejoice in His goodness, then you're going to have a great life. And on those days when people come through for you, and on days when you perform well and you come through, that's just icing on the cake. Because you knew God was going to take care of you. Remember when Mordecai is talking to Esther, asking her to go before the king to plead for the lives of the Israelites, the Judeans, who was it? Haman wanted to kill everybody. Mordecai went to Esther, his sort of niece or cousin or something that he was her guardian. He went to her and basically said, "You go to the king and ask him, and see if he can help." And he said, "If you're too scared to go talk to the king, then God, then enlargement and deliverance will arise from some other place." In other words, if you don't carry through on what you need to do to save God's people, God will find another way to help them. And it's that way in our lives. Instead of putting confidence in the flesh, putting confidence in people, whether it's ourselves or an organization or some set of circumstances with people involved, we have confidence that God will come through. And obviously, there might be a certain way you want it to work out with a certain person or group or set of circumstances, and that's fine. You can pray that that happens. But if that's not available and God can't help you that way, He'll find another way. Just like Mordecai said to Esther, if you're not going to go talk to the king, then enlargement and deliverance for God's people will arise from some other source. And that's why we just don't put our confidence in people or in the flesh. We put our confidence in God. God always comes through for us. And then if people come through, that's icing on the cake. That's a great, wonderful thing. But that's not what we put our trust in. Philippians 4, Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. And again, it's repeated. Another figure of speech to get our attention. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Moderation just means you're not all worried and upset about every little thing. And the reason you don't have to be worried about every little thing is the Lord's at hand. Why do I have to get worried about every little thing going on? God's here. And so what? This detail doesn't work out. This other thing doesn't work out. So what? God will come through another way. Be careful or anxious, worried for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then what's going to happen? Verse 7, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So that's what we do. Instead of getting anxious and worried, we pray with thanksgiving, And the peace of God will guard and protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Wonderful. Let's see. One more here to wrap up. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here we go. 1 Timothy and chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God's the one that gives us all things to enjoy. So that's why it's okay to have uncertain riches. Don't trust in them. And don't be high-minded. We trust in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And just to remember to never, ever give up on God, because he certainly has not given up on you, and he never will. Remember what it says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints, for the joy it's been to look into your word. Thank you that we can rejoice in you every day and in every way, knowing that you will always come through for us. Thank you for this, for your great love, your great kindness, and the joy of believing you and trusting you every day. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, God bless you all. If the Lord tarries, we'll meet again in 2 weeks. Have a great week. Let's keep praying for each other. Bye-bye.